you turn to the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 11, Judges chapter number 11 this evening. We're going to continue in a message that we started a few weeks ago entitled Jephthah, a mighty man of valor. Jephthah, a mighty man of valor. We'll look at a couple of verses beginning in Judges chapter 11, verses 4 through verse number 11. As we thought about this topic, as we looked at the life of Jephthah, a mighty man of valor, we first of all saw last time we met, we saw Jephthah's rejection. We saw that in his rejection, we noticed his character, and the Bible said he was a mighty man of valor. And then the second part of verse number 1, we understood his challenge, that he was the son of a harlot. And then we saw in verse number 2, we found his conflict. And the Bible said, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art a son of a strange woman. So despite of the conflict, we find this in verse number 3, his companions. And the Bible talks about how Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there gathered together him vain men to Jephthah, and they went out with them. And then as we closed out the message the last time we met, we made four simple applications to our lives. The first one was this, that Jephthah took a negative and turned it into a positive. And he could have taken the rejection of his brothers as an indication that his life was over and God didn't have anything for him to do. But that was not the case, and neither should you and I. And then we understood that God delights in using the unusable. If you looked at anybody's life, Jephthah would be one that you would say that God could not use. Thank God for that in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 and 29. It talks about that God does use the unusable. And then we made mention as well as we closed out the message that birds of a feather flock together. And people like Jephthah came to Jephthah. And the principle was simply this, that you tend to gravitate towards those people who reflect what's in your heart. And we ask you to really search your heart and figure out who are you gravitating towards. And then lastly, as we closed out the message, we understood this application, that rejection is hurtful, but it's often beneficial as well. And whether we like it or not, God used the hatred and the attacks of others to build up the character of Jephthah, and he does it to refine our lives as well. So then, having gave you the background to where we're going to be at tonight we're going to be looking at Israel's request in verses 4 through verse number 8. So let's stand as to give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll finish out the chapter, begin reading in Judges chapter 11, verse number 4, verse number 11. Let me just say this, that the ladies' Bible study, before I forget, is Tuesday evening, 6:30 at the pastor's house, all right? Now Jephthah the Gilead was, verse 4, and it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we might fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come now unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witnesses between us if we do not according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as we come together thinking on this thought one more time, Father, about Jephthah, a mighty man of valor. And Father, now I pray as we delve into the last number of verses here between verses 4 and verse number 11, we ask, Father, that you would meet with us here this evening, Father, Do a great work in our hearts, Father. Maybe, Lord, there's somebody here that can identify with Jephthah. Maybe they've been wronged by people, Father. Let's look at the result of Jephthah, of what he did and did not do, Father, that we might emulate him, Father, in this trying time of his life. And, Father, I pray you save someone that could be here this evening that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And, Lord, we pray your blessings upon this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice in verse number 4 through 8, if you're taking notes, it would be Roman numeral number 2. Notice Israel's request in verses 4 through verse number 8. Now, Jephthah now had been living in exile, and he is something of a Robin Hood type of figure. He's protecting the Israelites and making the best out of a very bad situation. Oftentimes, the marauders would come in and try to strip the land of food and animals and oxen and different things. And so we find that Jephthah would often act as a Robin Hood type of a person that would save the nation of Israel. And when his people came looking for him, they came to him with a very astonishing request. Notice the cause of this request found in verse number 4 and verse number 5. Notice verse 4. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. So we're setting the stage here. The nation of Israel was once again under attack. And the Ammonites were trying to take over the land. The children of Ammon, if you might remember, they were descendants of Abraham's nephew by the name of Lot. And this nation had come from the result of an incestuous relationship with his daughter. And the Ammonites, if you believe it or not, that would make them cousin to the Jews. But even though they were cousin to the Jews, they were always their perpetual enemy. Well, back to our passage, we find that Israel is under attack by the Ammonites. And they finally realize this, that there is not a strong military leader or a strong civil leader that could lead us in our fight against the Ammonites. So what they decided to do, no doubt hearing about Jephthah and no doubt the good that he did for Israel, notice in verse number 5, they sent for Jephthah. And the Bible said, and it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. Think about this. Jephthah must have really had made a big name for himself. No doubt his name went far and wide all across the nation of Israel. No doubt he was acting as a Robin Hood. He was protecting and defending the Israelites and the Israelite territories, those towns and villages that he was near. So we see that there's the cause of the request. But notice in verse number 6, notice the character of the request. And the Bible said, and they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. So the leaders of Israel come to him to request that he comes back. Remember now, they kicked him out of Israel. He's living in the land of Tob. And ask him to come back to become their captain. That word captain literally means this. It means commander. It means chief. Or we could say it means ruler. At one point, think about this, they ask him to leave. They didn't like what he did, and they ask him to leave. And now they have a complete opposite turn of direction, and now they're asking him to come back and lead them. So they ask him to leave, and now they're saying, oh, we changed our mind, come back and lead us. What a change of mind. What a change of direction. I thought about this week as I meditated upon these verses once again, and I thought, aren't we just that same way? We're very quick, we're very fickle to change our mind, to change our directions. One day someone's our enemy, the next day they're our friend. And I found out as we studied this passage of Scripture, the change was brought on because of the attack. And oftentimes when attacks come our way and trials come our way, someone that previously was our enemy, now all of a sudden we're desiring for them to come be our friends and be a help to us. And just like it did for Jephthah, this call to service could come at any moment for you as well. Think about it. Jephthah's in the land of Tob doing his thing. He's protecting Israel, protecting the people of Israel, protecting the flocks, protecting the food stores. And all of a sudden, a call came to service to him. I wonder if the call to service comes to you tonight. Are you going to be ready for it? Are you going to be prepared to answer the call when God comes calling and asking you? Here's the truth. We have to be found faithfully serving the Lord where we are. Someone said this, you bloom where you're planted. And I believe there's some truth in that. And we should be doing His will where He has placed us. And if this is not the place God, you think God has placed you, you should get very quickly to the place that God has placed you. We must learn all the lessons that God wants to teach us at the place He has called us to. Think about this. It's God's responsibility to open up the doors of ministry. It's God's responsibility to open up the doors of opportunity. It's not our responsibility to do that. It's God's responsibility. It's our responsibility to grow where God has planted you and to trust the Lord to use you when, where, and how that He sees fit to do so. I think oftentimes that we're involved in ministry, and say here at Sharon Baptist Church, and oftentimes another ministry opens up and we're thinking, well, maybe I should go to that ministry. There's a need over there, but no, you stay where God has called you. You stay where God has led you. You stay where God has led you and has seen fit to use you throughout these many months. Here's the truth. If we'll make our hearts available to Him, He will give us plenty of opportunities to serve Him. He'll do that if you're willing to do that. When we serve Him faithfully today, He'll look after our tomorrows. And that's what's so good about serving God. You know, God is not beholden to anybody. And if you faithfully serve Him today, He will look after your tomorrows. Well, in Israel's request, we see the cause. We see the character, but then notice in verses 7 and 8, notice the commitment of the request, the commitment. Look at verse 7 again as I read it. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when you are distressed? We find that Jephthah recounts the past attitude towards him. I don't know about you, but if it had been me or perhaps you there, our words would not have been so kind as his words. He reminds them that they were the ones that asked him to leave, and now they're asking him to come back to be their ruler. Look at verse 8. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So now, they're there now to confirm the promise that Jephthah was going to be their head. And if he comes back, they promised him that, and if Jephthah says, if I do this for you and I deliver the Ammonites from the nation of Israel, then I will be the head of the nation of Israel. That word head means the top. It means the summit. It means the chief. So now they wanted Jephthah to come back and take over. They now wanted him to come back and to be their boss. And now they are offering him, get this, complete control over all their lives, when at some point they didn't want him to be around at all, and they kicked him out and he moved to the land of Tob. And their treatment of Jephthah in these verses is really, really sad. They had no use for him when things were going well. You know, I thought about that. Oftentimes you and I don't have any use for God when things are going well. But when the bottom fell out, the nation of Israel, they ran to him for help, and they needed him. And that's the way sometimes that you and I act, amen? When things are going well, and the checking account is full, and the car's running well, and family relationships are well, we have a tendency to forget God, and we leave him out of our lives. And this is how people treat the Lord. They refuse to be faithful. They refuse to serve him. They refuse to honor his word and his will and his house. They treat him like an unwanted intruder until something goes wrong in their life. And then they're all about Jesus. They're all about coming to church. They're all about surrendering their lives. I think sometimes we get this idea that people treat him like a spare tire in a car. And they put him in the trunk and they say, stay in the trunk and keep quiet, but you better be ready if I have a flat and they're going to pull him out and use him. people treat the Lord that same way. And they treat him as a flat in the trunk. Like I said this morning, they try to put him in a little box and compartmentalize their life without Jesus. But understand this, that oftentimes, that's to our shame when you desire to do that. If you leave Jesus out of your life, he may just let you deal with your own problems on your very own without his help. He might just do that. And if he did desire to do that, who could really blame him for our rejection of him? But thank God for his grace, and thank God for his mercy upon us. Well, not only do we see Jephthah's rejection and Israel's request, but notice lastly, and then we'll be done, notice Jephthah's response in verses 9 through verse number 11. I don't know what I would do if I were Jephthah. And that bunch of yahoos came to me after throwing me out of the country, disinheriting me from my father's house. I don't really know if I'd have that same kind of attitude that Jephthah did. I probably, be honest with you, would not have responded like he did. Let's look at this amazing response. Notice his acceptance in verses 9 through verse number 11. First of all, Jephthah wants to confirm that their offer is genuine. And literally, who could blame him? After disinheriting him, after exiling him out of the country of Israel, we find that he just wants to really make sure that what they're offering is still truth. Look at verse 9 again. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And he's basically saying this, is this for sure what you want to do? If you appoint me to be leader, the commander of the army of the nation of Israel, and God gives us victory, are you sure, think about it now, that you want me to be your head? Notice in verse number 10, and the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not us according to thy words. So when they confirm it, he consents to go, and he consents to lead the nation of Israel against the Ammonites. And notice in verse number 11, the Bible said, then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead. His treatment of them is very different than their treatment of him. And even though they had abused him, even though they mistreated him, even though they treated him like a piece of dirt, surprisingly, Jephthah is not bitter against them. Let me help you. Only God can do that. Amen. He was able to get over the things that they did to him. He was able to see past the mean spirits of the men of Gilead. Unfortunately and undoubtedly, he caught a glimpse of the hand of God that was working in his life. He could have been exiled from Israel, but he never was exiled from God. And oftentimes you might be exiled from your family. You might be exiled from your co-workers and from your neighbors. But understand this, that you're never, ever exiled from God. Unlike his relatives, he proved his commitment to the Lord by his treatment of other people. Here's the truth for you and I tonight. How we treat other people directly reflects the place that God holds in our hearts. If we're mean-spirited and we mistreat and attack those who are made in God's image, whether they're saved or whether they're lost, it doesn't say much about our opinion of God. And when we love God the way that we should, we'll love others just as we should as well. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, we find these wonderful words. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, the Bible said, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Well, we see Jephthah's repentance and we see his acceptance. And notice the second part of verse number 11, we see his advancement. Notice what the Bible said. And the people made him head and captain over them. The people honored their word, and they elevated Jephthah and made him the ruler over the nation of Israel. The Bible said he became their head and became their captain. And then notice the third part of verse number 11. We notice his acknowledgement. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mitzpah. That word Mitzpah literally means watchtower. In Genesis chapter 31 and verses 33 through verse number 35, this place is called Mitzpah. And this is the place where Jacob and Laban made an agreement that they would not fight one another. And they called upon the Lord literally to witness their covenant between each of them. That's what Jephthah is doing here. He's calling upon the Lord to look upon the promises made to him by his people. And he calls upon the Lord to watch over him as he goes forth in the battle against the Amorites. He acknowledges the Lord and he looks to him for the help that he is going to need to defeat the Amorites and have a great victory. Jephthah knew that the victory that was going to come would only come from the Lord and not from himself. You know, there's a lesson for you and I as well. If we're going to have victory in this world over the world, the flesh and the devil, it only will come, and the victory only comes through the Lord. Notice in verse number 9, when the Bible says, "And the Lord deliver them before me." It would be really good for us to remember that victories that we get in our life only come from the Lord. Victories don't come from us. They don't come from our efforts. They don't even come from our abilities. Victory only comes from the Lord and from a relationship that is centered upon him and in him alone. I like 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It pays to acknowledge God in everything that we do. Jephthah was acknowledging God. He was thanking God, so to speak, for the victory before he even had it. And he was saying, listen, if victory comes, it will only come because the Lord gives us victory. It pays to call upon the Lord. It pays to look up to him. It pays to trust him for the victories in your life. The New Testament makes it plain that Jephthah was a man of strong faith. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible makes it very clear that Jephthah was a man of strong faith. Hebrews 11, verse number 32 through verse number 34. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah." That's the man we're talking about right here. "Of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued the kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens." There are many lessons that we could take away from this part of chapter number 11 of Judges, verses 1 through verse number 11. I just want to review a few of them very quickly. Number one, all of us have a past, but the Lord can make something special out of you, even with your past. Number two, there may be a cycle of sin in your background, but it can be broken, and it can be broken tonight, right now. You don't have to go in that continuous circle of serving God, and then backsliding, and then repenting and serving God again. You can stop the cycle and just continue to serve God. Number three, God can use you despite your past, your family, or even your own failures. I thought about this. I don't have a $50 bill on me, but if I had a $50 bill, and I had that $50 bill in my hand, it wouldn't make any difference whether it was new, whether it was worn, whether it was torn, whether it was crunched up. Its value still never changes. And that's the way God sees you and have value in your life. Despite your past, despite your family, despite your failures, he still sees value in you. And then fifthly, your treatment of others reveals how you feel about God. You know what? If you don't have love for the brethren, I wonder if you can really, truly say that you love God. And then number six, you can and should serve God faithfully today and trust Him for all your tomorrows. Well, the Bible said that Jephthah was indeed a mighty man of valor. Thank God for the mighty man of valor. Next time we'll meet, we'll take a look at Jephthah's vow in verses 29 through verse number 40. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we could gather here this evening, Father, and finish up this message about Jephthah, a mighty man of valor. Oh, Father, what a grand, faithful man he was. Oh, Father, he was faithful to the nation of Israel even when they weren't faithful to him. When the men of Gilead kicked him out of his home and took away his inheritance, Father, he still was willing to stand and fight with him. Father, by him doing that really showed who he loved. He loved God, and he loved serving God, was willing to do whatever he was called to do. He was a mighty man of valor. Father, I pray for your people here this evening, Father, that you would help them to understand this, that they can and should serve God. Serve God faithfully today and trust him for all their tomorrows. Father, I pray you'll speak to hearts. Challenge us, Father, as only you can do, as we look at this life of Jephthah, a mighty man of valor. So, Father, we pray and ask these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one looking around this evening. Our pianist is going to softly begin to play our hymn of invitation. Jephthah, a mighty man of valor. When we first meet Jephthah, it doesn't seem like he's going to really do anything for the Lord. As a matter of fact, you might even say that he was a misfit, although he wasn't. To his brethren in Gilead, he was. He was born of a concubine. They wanted no part of him. Didn't want him to have any inheritance of their father. But yet he still was faithful and serving where God had called him to go in Tob. Maybe you're here this evening and you say, I want to be like Jephthah. I want to be a mighty man of valor. Begins by serving. Begins by forgiving others that have wronged you. Begins by trusting him with all your tomorrows. You see, although Jephthah didn't know the end of the story when he was asked to leave Gilead and he went to Tob, God knew the rest of the story. You may not know the rest of your story tonight, but God knows the rest of your story. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. He knows all the in-betweens if you'll just trust him. Would you be faithful and trust him today? Maybe one day you'll hear different but similar words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord.